Oh, such a good question.
Well, when you come with these questions, that's another great branding question.
That's a big question.
That's a very interesting question because it really makes you think about what you just did.
Welcome to the Your Living Brand Live Show. This show is all about how you communicate your value, how you build influence through trust, and recognizing who your audience is and who they are not. Through our weekly conversations with our guests, we will explore different ways to enable you to demonstrate your uniqueness while we ask them, what's your story? And now, welcome our host, Ben Baker.
Welcome back to another episode of the Your Living Brand Live Show. This is Ben Baker. Welcome back to the show, everybody. You know, listen in on your favorite podcast. We're there on iTunes, Spotify, iHeart, anywhere you can think that you listen to podcasts, we're probably there. And if there's somewhere that we're not, let us know and we'll make sure that our RSS feed gets there. And subscribe. Tell your friends. Leave me a comment. The best thing you can do is leave me a comment. Tell me about the things that you love about the show. Tell me about the things that you're passionate about. Tell me about the questions you have. And if you have any special guests, if there's someone that you'd love to hear me interview, send me a message at ben@yourbrandmarketing.com. I'd love to hear from you. Love to find out who it is, and we'll get them on the show and we'll go from there because I'm always looking to listen to great people, find out what they're all about and what they're passionate about. So today I have Andy Stork on the show. Andy is with Advantage Performance. Where are you today, Andy?
Hey, Ben. Thanks so much for having me on. I do travel a lot, but today I'm coming to you from my home office in Orlando, Florida.
That's right. You are on the East Coast. So you and I are about as far away from each other in the continental North America as we can get. So you're out there enjoying the sunshine and I got the cold snap coming in. So you know what? Enjoy the sun while you got it.
That's right. We're recording this in winter, which is the time to be here for sure. And come summer, my dream is to get out and visit cool places like Vancouver.
There you go. You're always welcome. So we got the snow on the peaks right now. It's absolutely gorgeous and blue sky. So I'll come down and visit Mickey. Maybe we'll do a house swap.
Sounds good.
You and I met through LinkedIn because you were running a conference in, if I remember correctly, it was Sonoma, late fall last year. And I got excited. I said, okay, maybe I'll get in touch with you to see if you were still looking for speakers. And we had a really good conversation about it. And then something happened. You had a major, major challenge. So I want to start, before we get into who you are, what you do, and why you do it, this story is a great story because it tells a little bit more about who you are as a company, what you guys do, what the challenge you go through, how you guys fix those challenges, and how you move forward. And I think every business needs to hear this because it's not just bright lights. It's not just raining cash.
Right.
It's the challenges that come along in our lives that make us better. So tell me the backstory and then let's get on from there.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right. I think more and more you find out who's successful by how they react to certain challenges because there are going to be a lot of challenges that come your way, right? So what you're referring to, a conference that my friend Bennett Phillips and I created called the Development Think Tank. And we had the idea about a year ago, back in February 2018. We're both consultants in the talent development space. We connect companies with exceptional learning and development programs, a lot of leadership development, things like that. And we both have built pretty big networks and we love bringing people together and hosting events. And we started talking about doing some smaller events. And then we said, you know, what if we did a conference? And we both kind of were like, whoa, you know, how could we do that? But then it was like, yeah, let's give it a try. And one of the big reasons, the impetus was because I go to a lot of conferences. And I go to conferences in the HR and talent development space because that's where a lot of my prospective clients are. And so I want to go out there and do networking as well as learn about the latest trends, things going on in the space. And I found a lot of them to be pretty boring, quite frankly. You know, a lot of it is just...
Oh, good. So it's not just me taking naps in the back of the room.
Exactly. Exactly. There's a lot of people on their phones and taking naps because there's a lot of kind of death by PowerPoint, I call it, just slide after slide and people learning a little bit from the person on the stage, not a lot of leveraging of the experience and the wisdom in the room. And I knew there was so much expertise out there that we could be harnessing. And in my business, like I said, I run training and development programs for big companies. Everything we do is highly experiential and interactive. And I know you're big on that as well, Ben.
Absolutely.
It's the only way to go. And so I said, we have an opportunity to create something different. Let's create something and let's practice what we preach and create a program that has a lot of interaction and people actually networking, learning from each other. And so we did that. And we went out and found a couple big name speakers because we knew nobody would know who we are. So we got Josh Burson and Liz Weissman, who are both really big names in kind of the talent development space, as well as Michael Bungay Stanier, who signed on, the author of The Coaching Habit, is kind of a big name as well. And then we put together a lot of interactive sessions, and then we started telling everybody that we knew, and it was crickets for a while. And we scheduled the conference for early November. And eventually by October, we had actually sold it out, over 100 tickets, mostly to people in our space, in our niche, the talent development field. And about a week before the conference, you may remember, you know, if you pay attention to the news, that there were a bunch of wildfires out in California, specifically a really big one called the Kincade wildfire in Sonoma County. A couple weeks before, we thought, do we need to worry about this fire? And then we thought, no, our hotel is in town in Santa Rosa. The chances of it disrupting our conference pretty low. And then about a week before the conference, I remember my partner Bennett called me on a Saturday and said, hey, man, I think we need to postpone our conference. The fire came into town. They've actually evacuated our hotel, and we don't know if it's going to be open next week when our conference starts. So we had to make the very difficult decision to send an email out to about 150 people and say, hey, we know you got flights, but we had people coming from all over North America, Canada, people from the UK, even as far as Trinidad, and tell them, really sorry, we know you have flights booked and everything, but we have to postpone this conference and we don't know when it's going to be. And of course, nobody blamed us. It wasn't our fault or anything, but we still felt terrible. And then we had four big name keynote speakers and then another 20 or so breakout speakers to try to coordinate schedules with them to find a new date. They've all got crazy travel schedules and everything, but we actually ended up settling on a new date in January. It was January 22nd and 23rd, just a month ago as you and I record this. And we lost a few people that had bought tickets, couldn't make the new dates, but it also created opportunities for us to sell more tickets to people that couldn't come in November and then were available in January. So it kind of evened out, and January came around and we actually hosted our first conference. A few more challenges came up. I actually got really sick the day before and was lying in my hotel bed in Sonoma, wondering if I was going to be able to get on stage the next day. But I woke up the next morning, just knew I needed to will myself to do it. And once I got in the room, the adrenaline started pumping. And we got in there. We hosted a great conference. Like I said, it really achieved our vision. It was very interactive, very engaging. The feedback has been tremendous. Everybody told us it was one of the best conferences they've ever attended. And it was a huge success. We had a lot of fun. And I think we're going to get some clients from it as well, which is part of the goal. So far, so good.
Well, I love the story because it's not just, we decided to do a conference, we had a conference, and we made $1 million. It's the challenges and the things that go along that make the conference better. Because first of all, you realize, okay, it's our first conference.
Yep.
We're not trying to get 500 people. We're not trying to get 1,000 people.
Right.
Let's get 100. Let's create a manageable number that we can make some money off of. We can afford to pay our bills. We can do this thing successfully. It's manageable. It's within budget, and test and see the success.
Right.
Is there an appetite for this?
Yep.
Are people going to like this? Are people going to respond to this? It allowed you to be able to put, you know, as you said, your first toe in the water and be able to create something that had a very good opportunity for success. Because there's too many people that reach for the stars in their first conference and they become epic failures. They absolutely do because they don't know enough. As I keep telling people, we get beaten up by the stuff we don't know that we don't know.
Yeah.
You know, the stuff that we don't know kills us because you and I are not event planners.
Right.
You know, that's not what we do for a living.
Yep.
And there are so many things that can trip you up creating a conference that can do it. What I want to find out is, what were the conversations like on the phone with your clients and with your suppliers and your sponsors and whoever, when you told them a week out that this is going to have to be postponed? Because you're right, it's not within your control. Obviously, it's not within your control. However, they all had book tickets.
Yeah.
They're all going to have cancellation fees. They're all going to have a week then or whatever where they're going to be completely out of pocket because they were expecting to be at your conference.
Right.
How did that conversation went, and how were you able to make sure that you kept these people engaged so when you were able to have the conference 6, 8, 10 weeks later,
yeah,
you were able to bring them back and be able to make sure it was successful?
Surprisingly, I don't think we had anybody complain about having to change the dates or change their flights or anything. I think everybody completely understood that it's a natural disaster. It happens. It's not our fault. For the people that were paying to come to the conference, like I hired my friend Lauren Davis to run social media, and we had an event coordinator. I think we covered their airline change fees or whatever, their additional costs. We didn't want it to cost them money. But for all of our attendees, you know, nobody really complained about it. They took it in stride. We did have about, 25 or so people who couldn't make the new dates and then asked us for refunds. And it's a tough situation to be in because, like I said, we're really just two guys organizing a conference, counting pennies. It was like a balance of, hey, we want to provide really great service, but all the time we need to take care of our bottom line and make sure that we're doing the right thing. So we settled on asking all of them if they would take credits before giving a refund. I think about half of them did. And then the rest, we provided refunds, and we have credits for a lot of people who are going to come next year. And we're in the process of planning that next conference now. And so, yeah, everything kind of went fine. The speakers didn't complain about it. Everybody was like very sympathetic and understood. And we had to kind of push them a little bit, crack the whip a couple of times to get the speakers to lock in the new dates. But I remember furiously texting them like, we need you to commit to this new date now because we're ready to market. We got to tell everybody where it's going to happen. We put it together. And then by the time we got there, people were so excited. And we kept in touch over email, video messages. I was posting content regularly on LinkedIn. And I think a lot of people connected with that and they were excited to be coming there. So yeah, everything worked out. Really no big problems around that. It was just more stress on our end and making sure that we're going to have enough people. We're not going to be, because there's the fear you're going to end up refunding everybody and then you're going to have nobody there for the new dates. But so many people hung on and they were excited to come and they've been excited since.
And you were able to get new people that couldn't make the original date that came to the new date, correct?
Yeah, that was the great thing. I always try to look at these challenges and think of, okay, what is the silver lining? I usually like to ask the question, what does this make possible? Mm-hmm. And so when this happened, we said, look, we ran out of space before. Well, this actually allowed us to open up more space and we can sell more tickets for people that couldn't come to the old dates. Maybe they can come to the new. Now, I had this vision that we might, you know, I would go hard on marketing. We might sell a whole bunch more tickets. That didn't really come true, but we sold a few more, just about making up for the refund request that came in. And there were some great people there I connected with. I'm thinking of two in my mind right now who are both about to become clients and we're really excited to work together. And both of them couldn't make the old dates and they were able to make the new dates. So sometimes you look at these things, you think, and I wonder if this happens for a reason, right? There's always like some kind of either a reason or there's just always a silver lining if you look for it and you don't get all bent out of shape because there's no point in getting angry and frustrated that things didn't work out the way you wanted it originally, when you can just embrace the new change, whatever it is, and then just go with it.
I have a saying that I use on a regular basis that the glass is not half full or half empty. It's refillable. And if you can sit there and have the viewpoint that the glass is refillable and say, okay, this is the challenge that's in front of me. This is what's gone wrong. These are the things that are within my control. These are things without my control. How do I move forward from here? And I think that the people that are ultimately going to be successful in business, in life, in whatever, are the people that can sit there and say, okay, I've been thrown a curveball. What do I do with it? How do I swing? How do I adjust my swing? How do I keep an eye on the ball and make sure that you make contact to be able to move forward? And I think that's a great lesson learned from this conference, is that you realize that, okay, this is completely out of my control. I mean, thank God the building didn't burn down. Thank God nobody got hurt.
Right.
You guys weren't there in the middle of the conference as the Sonoma was burning around you.
Yeah.
So there's the positive things to take out of it. But it's also sitting there saying, okay, we got two new clients out of that, or we got some great relationships out of this. We now have a story to tell about this. We learned some things. We sat there and say it gave us another 2 months to be able to hone the conference and make it even a little bit better. There's so many things that can come out of this thing that are positive, but there are so many people out there that just go right for the negative. Oh my God, what do we do now?
Yeah. It always happens to me, right? Like,
oh yeah,
of course it does. Cause that's what you're looking for. Whereas I'm like, good things always happen. There's always a reason, you know, there's always a silver lining and challenges are going to happen. That was the second time last year, by the way, that my plans got drastically changed by a natural disaster. Back in September, my wife and I had plans to go to Israel for a wedding, a good friend's wedding. And we live in Florida, as you mentioned earlier, and there was a big hurricane that came through. and closed the airport and canceled school. And we had to cancel that trip as well. But we made the most of it. We did some fun family outings. I forget what we did, but it all worked out. And we're all safe and everybody's healthy. So we have much to be grateful for.
We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. The YourBrandMarketing.live podcast is sponsored by How to Retain Employees Through Leadership online course. Go to courses.yourbrandmarketing.com. That's courses.yourbrandmarketing.com and put in Your Living Brand 50 for a $50 coupon. Thanks a lot. Welcome back to the Your Living Brand.live show. Beyond the disaster that happened and whatever, when you're planning a conference like this, what's the vision that's in your mind? Let's talk about the vision that was in your mind. I want to accomplish X.
Yeah.
This is the value that I think that I can provide. These are the things that people that I think I can help. What are the thoughts that are going through your mind when you're developing this to be able to have a clear vision of what you want the conference to be, what success looks like for you, and then how did you go about achieving that?
Yeah, I think it's an important question to ask. And after it was all said and done, I wrote down a list of what are the important components that you need to organize a successful conference. And so for anybody listening, thinking about organizing an event and a conference, this could be really helpful, but I think it applies to anything. And step one is know who your target niche or demographic is. Who are you marketing to? Who is this for? Who is this not for? And we knew that we were specifically targeting people who worked in HR or talent development, not anybody else. We ended up having other people come to the conference because they heard about it, they found out about it, and they just wanted to come. And I'm glad they did. But that wasn't our target niche. You know, that wasn't who we were targeting. So we had the target, and then we had a very clear vision of what we wanted to create, which is, like I said, we felt like most of the conferences out there in this space were pretty boring. We knew we could do something better. We could do something different. We wanted it to be very interactive. We wanted it to be engaging. We wanted it to be fun. We wanted it to focus a lot on connection and people learning from each other. And those are things I don't see out there very much in corporate conferences. So I knew we had an opportunity to do something different. We had a very clear vision of what we wanted it to be. And we stayed pretty true to that. A lot of credit goes to my partner, Bennett, because he managed our agenda while I was doing all the marketing stuff. And he kept the agenda very true to that. We had one session, one speaker who was kind of all PowerPoint. And we knew that's what we were getting with him. And people don't mind that about him because he's kind of like the foremost thought leader in the market. His name's Josh Burson. He was our opening keynote. And people are still blown away. They love him because he's like on top of the latest trends. Everybody else was interactive, was engaging, stayed true to our vision. And then once you have that vision, I keep thinking of this because you've got this sign behind you. Your tagline is, what's your story, right? I got some great advice early on in the process. I went to a mentor and a group of people who were kind of in this marketing, branding type space. How should I do this? I asked for advice. And their number one piece of advice was, tell a story. Make sure in all your marketing, you're telling a story, you're making it personal, and that it's not just this cold, like, oh, come to this event, whatever it is. I have two podcasts. I do a lot of content on LinkedIn. And I tried to always be telling a story about why we were doing this. What's our vision? Why is it different from other events out there? And the story of how we came up with it, the story of how we were putting it together, who was involved, why we're doing it, sharing my energy and my excitement for it. And I wasn't out there, so I don't know how it came across to a lot of people, but we sold a bunch of tickets. So I think it was pretty successful. And then when people were there, I felt so much connection with people. I saw a lot of connection with each other. People felt like they were part of something. And I think that's because we told a story along the way. We made it personal. You could see it in our website. We talked about it on the podcast, in organic content. We ran some ads, things like that. And all of it was about telling the story of who we are, what we're creating, why we're creating it. This is our vision. Do you want to be part of it? And luckily, there was at least 100 people.
I want to unpack that a little bit. I mean, first of all, your thought process on engagement. You and I, as we started off this conversation, there are way too many conferences out there. There are way too many trade shows. There's too many things where it's either death by a PowerPoint or there is just not enough time built in for actual quiet conversations
right,
outside of the presentation. it's you go from presentation to presentation to presentation by presentation. And by the time, and I've been that closing keynote address, and you look out in people's eyes and they're totally glossed over. By the time they get to that closing thing, they're just looking at their watches and they just want to go home because they're exhausted. And you really need to work hard at that point in time to really get into the room and get people excited to get their energy back up because they haven't had the time to just process. Because it's not just the information, it's being able to process the information. It's meeting people in the hallways. It's, what did you think about this? Oh, really? What do you do? Oh, really? Oh, we're in the same space. Oh, here's my business card. Let's have a conversation about this next week. Great. And the things that go on, that's the magic of going to conferences.
Yep.
And too many conferences are just speaker after speaker after speaker after speaker, and you lose your people so easily that way. And I applaud you over and over again for understanding that you have to engage the people that are in the room. You have to bring up their energy. You have to give them time and energy to network and to be with each other.
Yeah, I agree. And thank you so much for affirming that. And I feel like we could have even done a better job. But it's funny you mentioned that because I agree completely. We wanted to create that with this. And then I started going down the road last year of potentially organizing a conference for entrepreneurs, business owners with another friend of mine. And I started posing questions out on social media. What's the biggest thing missing from conferences? What would you like to see more from events? And the number one thing that kept coming up over and over again was more networking time, more time to connect with people. Because if you go to enough events, you realize, and I go to a lot of conferences, and I always go for the people I might meet. Whether they're potential clients or partners or just friends. I love meeting friends at conferences and building relationships. I look at a conference and I don't really care who's speaking. I ask myself, who's going to be in the room? Who am I going to meet? But I think most people look first at the speakers and they're attracted to the speakers or the content. But then what they remember most in the end is the people they met, is the connections they made. So I think the veterans who have been to enough conferences are asking for that because they realize that's where the real value comes in. For anybody listening that wants to take this, go create something. I had a friend, a follower that reached out to me who's a big time insurance agent out in Southern California. And he said, you need to come create this in the insurance industry. And I was like, whoa, man, I don't know if I have time to go around creating more conferences, but I'm thinking about it.
If you are, I'm willing to work with you on that one because I love that space. I think that there's some great people in there.
There you go.
And the next thing I want to unpack is the whole story thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, the whole story thing, because as you said, you were telling your story through the whole piece.
Mm-hmm.
My question to you is, did you enable the people within the conference itself to tell your story for you? Did you have a videographer there who was sitting there taking snippets of people and say, what did you think of the conference? What were the best things that you liked about the conference? Who was the best speaker? This, that, the other thing. And having those at the ready. So when next year's conference comes up, you have all those video snippets at the ready to be able to build the know, like, trust and get people excited about the conference because look at what you missed from last year.
Yeah, it would be really sad if my answer right now was no, but luckily it was yes.
Thank you.
I'm sure we could have done an even better job of this, but I feel fortunate that we had the wherewithal to think about these things, that we had a great team. So we did have a videography crew there. We had three people who were doing photography, videography, capturing not only the keynotes, but a lot of what was going on in the crowd. We started grabbing people to do video testimonials. And I actually credit my wife who came with me, who's a former journalist, who said on the second day, we got to start grabbing people and interviewing them. And she actually started interviewing them on video. And so we got a bunch of video testimonials. And then I also, as I mentioned earlier, I hired my friend Lauren Davis, who's in the Chicago area, to run social media for us. And she was there taking pictures and videos and posting nonstop on Instagram and Twitter and LinkedIn. So I was doing the same thing, taking her content. And because we did that and we created such a buzz around the event, and it wasn't just us. I kept encouraging our attendees, hey, please, if you don't mind, you know, share some of this stuff on social media, whatever your takeaways are. And so people were, I mean, a lot of people don't know, really get how to do social media like those of us business owners who do it all the time, right? But they tried to the best they could, and we told them about the hashtag and the handles and everything. And so people were posting. It's one of those things that you've got to do these days, and a lot of people still aren't really getting it right, especially in the event space. But it creates so much buzz and so much FOMO, right? Fear of missing out. So many people that didn't buy tickets that are sitting there on social media going, oh my gosh, that conference looks amazing. I've got to go to that next year. And that was the whole goal. That's why we're willing to invest to make that happen. And we had people still posting days afterwards about their highlights.
That's cool.
One guy I connect with who listens to my podcast, we became friends. He wrote a LinkedIn article about me and the whole story of putting it together and why it was so impactful for him. Just amazing, amazing. And so when you can create that story, like you said, and people are bought into it, and I don't mean bought into it in a bad way. Like, we are 100% transparent, authentic. It is who we are. We want you to be part of it. And people get energized by it and on board. You get them sharing as well and doing some of the marketing work for you. I don't know if we did it perfectly, but we definitely got a lot of great benefits out of that. And we're still going through the hours and hours of video, and we'll be using those testimonials and creating highlight reels and stuff like that that we can use to market the event next year so that it looks even more legit than the first time we were marketing it, having not done it before.
That's so cool. The one thing I remember being on stage once, the first time somebody did this to me, is they had a Twitter wall right up next to me. So they had this huge screen that was constantly running the Twitter feed.
That's cool.
While I was talking. And it was hysterical because the comments that were coming in real time.
Like while you're on stage.
While I'm on stage, you know. So, you know, people making comments about me, about what I'm saying, this, that, other thing.
That's awesome.
And a couple of times I've looked over the Twitter wall and says, did I really say it? Okay, cool. It's having that conversation with the audience, because it became more real and more engaged.
Right.
And you could have a lot of fun with that, because it, all of a sudden you get people in the room talking to each other through the hashtag.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing how it elevates the room and how it creates connections and how the learning all of a sudden gets elevated. So I love the fact that if you can use social media the right way,
yep,
the incredible things that can happen with it.
Totally. And it's all about creating a story, creating community, and people want to be part of something. And so you're giving them something to be part of.
I want to switch gears a bit because I don't want to forget about this. You're writing a book.
In addition to organizing a conference and running a business and two podcasts, I'm also writing a book right now as well. You're right.
So the book really mirrors the type of work you do. So tell me a little bit about what was the impetus of the book? Is the book coming about? And how do you think it's going to be able to help both you and your clients?
Well, it's interesting. The space that I'm in and the book that I'm writing, are they're kind of adjacent. And I think the book also is in a space that you're in as well. And I think you'll love it. It's called Own Your Career, Own Your Life. It's all about helping people take ownership of their career, which involves connecting to a purpose, connecting to a vision for their career, taking ownership of that. And then all the things that you can do to set yourself up for success in your career. I saw an opportunity really involved in the entrepreneurship world. There are a lot of people out there saying, hey, if you're not happy, quit your job and go start a business, which we know a lot of people are not going to do, right? Most people are going to be employed by big companies for most of their careers, and they just want to be happy and successful. But there's a lot of people out there frustrated. There are a lot of people drifting, waiting for other people to kind of tell them what to do, waiting for their manager to tell them what to do, following a career path their parents or other people set forth for them or they thought would be cool because they saw it on social media. You know who you are. And I want to help people take more ownership of that. Really think about, what do I want to do? What's best for me? What's my vision for my career? What's my purpose? What are my goals? How do I go out and achieve those? Who can I get help from? And then how do I get better at networking, learning, staying up to date, preparing for the future of work, and building a personal and professional brand? So all of that's in there. I'm not a career coach, you know, at all. So it's not necessarily serving me directly in that way. I think it's going to be really helpful for a lot of companies. A lot of companies I'm talking to, and you might be seeing this as well, because I know you deal with this a lot with employee experience and things like that, are experiencing higher attrition at the 2 to 3 to 4 year mark because employees are really, they're not taking very much ownership of their career. They're waiting for their managers. Their managers are frustrated. The employees are getting frustrated. And because they're unhappy and they're not sticking things out, they go look for another job and they leave, right? And so there's a lot of movement. And I think if people just took some time to really think about what they really want and started having real conversations with their manager, their peers, their colleagues, whoever it is, and asking for help, they're a lot more likely to be happier, be more fulfilled, and probably stay longer with the companies they're with, especially as we move more toward this kind of gig economy. I think the future of work, people are going to be moving around more, and it's going to be more based on project-based instead of like a long-term career in one role. But that doesn't mean people can't stay with one company for a long time. and I want to help set them up for success. So I think it's going to be beneficial for companies to put this book in the hands of their employees. I think it's going to be beneficial for everybody, but especially young professionals, to take more ownership of their career. I'm excited to get it out there. I've never written a book before. I'm studying like crazy while I write it, what it takes to successfully market a book. I'm investing in programs. I just hired a great editor who has a lot of experience in this space. And I want to get it out there and I want to change some lives. I want to help people take more ownership and live more intentionally and just be more fulfilled and happier.
And I think it's important. I mean, my book, Powerful Personal Brands, A Hands-On Guide to Understanding Yours, mirrors a lot of what you're saying. I mean, it really does. I'm a big believer of you have to know yourself before you can be valuable to anybody.
Totally.
And there's too many people, you're right, they're waiting for somebody else to give them permission to succeed. Mm-hmm. Everybody has to succeed on their own.
That's right.
We need to all step up, whether we're leaders within an organization or we're employees or whatever. Nobody's going to hand you anything. There is no hack for life. There is no easy button. It all comes down to understanding who you are, who you're valuable to, and why you're valuable to them. And I think that the more we can help people get there, the more we can help them be self-actualized and be comfortable within their own skin,
yep,
the better off employees are going to be, the better leaders they're going to be, the better CEOs they're going to be, better salespeople they're going to be, because if they love themselves, they can love other people. And I think that there's a lot of that to it. Every employee that you lose costs you $100,000 to replace. I know I say that 1,000 times on this podcast. Yep. I'll say it again. It's unbelievable how many people are out there leaving jobs that they shouldn't leave because nobody listens to them, nobody understands them, and nobody values them.
Right.
It's got to go both ways.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And the other thing I want to add too, I know we got to end soon, is that get into all of like leadership. But I think one of the top qualities, most important factors of leadership is understanding yourself, right? It's self-awareness. And so if a lot of people don't do that work, but if you're willing to do the work, understand yourself, what motivates you, what drives you, what energizes you, what you want to move towards, what's your purpose, get feedback from others, what are your blind spots, what are your gaps, you're going to be so much of a better leader. You're going to be so much more influential. You're going to be so much happier. And like you said, love yourself. It's easier to love others. And I think life just gets so much better when you're operating that way. And from a business perspective, like you said, $100,000 an employee, business gets so much better when you have happier, more engaged employees. They're more productive. They get more done. They produce more revenue. Your costs from attrition are less. It's amazing. And there's so many more things we could say about that, but I think the business case is there. So get Ben's book. Make sure you hire Ben, but when my book comes out, keep an eye out for that as well.
Hey, they're companion books. We got to buy both of them.
Heck yeah.
That's my thought of process on this, is that there isn't one definitive book out there.
No.
There's nobody that's going to write the definitive book. My book is good. It doesn't cover everything. Your book is going to cover things that mine doesn't,
yeah,
vice versa. The more we read, the more we expand our mind, the more we're open to different points of view and different thoughts,
yeah,
the better off we are.
Yeah.
The more that we try to understand things that are outside our comfort level, the better off we are. We don't have to believe in them. We don't have to agree with them, but we need to understand them.
Yeah.
And I think that that's where the real bonus is in life.
Absolutely.
The more experiences we can have, the better off we are. So two questions. First of all, we have the conference coming up, but it's also making sure people get in touch with you. What's the best way for people to get in touch with you?
So best thing for me is social media. That's where I am all day, every day, especially LinkedIn. I know you're there as well, Ben. So find me on LinkedIn, Andy Storch, Storch. And my podcasts are, I have a podcast called The Talent Development Hot Seat, which is all about corporate talent development. And that website is talentdevelopmenthotseat.com. And then my other podcast is called The Andy Storch Show, which is more about personal development. Tagline is starve your fears. And I want to help people starve their fears, follow their dreams, and fulfill their true potential. That's what I'm trying to do every day. I love meeting people like you, Ben, who are doing the same thing. And I think together we can inspire more people to fill their true potential and live their best life.
Well, make sure you email me all that information. So that way, plus if you've got any information for the conference coming up in the fall, send me that as well. Even if it's last year's website, so people can sign up and keep an eye open for next year's conference.
Yeah. If you're in the talent development space, it's called the Talent Development Think Tank. It'll be coming up again in January, 2021. And that website is talentdevelopmentthinktank.com. And I'll get all that to you, Ben, so you can put it in the show notes.
Perfect. And the last question I ask people as they leave my show, They get in their car, they walk away, or they leave a client's office. What's the one thing you want people to think about you when you're not in the room?
What I want them to think about me, or what I want them to think about themselves?
More about you. How do you want people to view you when you're not in the room?
Ooh, that's an interesting question. I want people to view me as, first and foremost, a friend, someone that they can always look to for advice, coaching, help, support, whatever it is. But second of all, inspiration, someone who is truly fulfilling his true potential. That's my mission, is to fulfill my true potential and inspire other people to do the same thing. So I want people to think of me as someone who's walking the walk and talking the talk and living my best life, fulfilling my true potential and inspiring them to also think about doing the same thing.
That's awesome. You know what? May we all live an inspired life, and may we all inspire other people. And it's always a pleasure having you on the show. Thank you for having me on your show as well. I can't wait to share that out with the world.
For sure.
And you have been an amazing guest.
Thank you so much, Ben. It's been awesome. I appreciate you coming on my show and having me on your show. I look forward to keeping in touch.
Absolutely.
This has been the YourLivingBrand.live show. I want to thank you for tuning in today. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe to the show at YourLivingBrand.live and share your favorite episodes with colleagues and friends. At Your Brand Marketing, we help companies engage, retain, and grow their most valuable assets, their employees. If you're tired of losing great staff and want to retain your best employees, build brand champions and leaders at any level. Contact us for a 30-minute consultation at YourBrandMarketing.com. That's www.YourBrandMarketing.com. Thank you again for listening and sharing. Tune in next week when we ask another guest, what's your story?